Welcome back to Broken Fuse Podcast. It's our eighth episode of our pilot project, I guess. We'll start off with James Plowman.
Yo.
What have you been playing lately?
Yo, Joe.
What have you been playing recently?
What have I been doing recently? Games I've been playing recently, Metroid Other M. Trying to get 100%.
Nice. And we have John as well coming back. What have you been playing recently as well?
I guess nothing out of the usual. A little bit of Fire Emblem, a little bit of Mario Kart, other games like that.
Oh yeah, I also reminded myself I also was playing original Zelda, Super Metroid, and Sonic.
Oh yeah, I also found myself playing the Super Mario games from SNES and NES.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm Marcus, and yeah, I haven't been playing too much besides some Metroid Other M, and starting on Wind Waker again. I lost my save file somehow, so I'm restarting that game after so many years of its release. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me for gameplay-wise for the past week or so.
Yeah, I kind of know how it feels about losing save data. Happened to my PS2 memory card randomly wiped for some reason.
Fire Emblem 8, I basically beaten everything except for getting the next generals. I hadn't played the game in a couple of years, came back to it, and all my data is gone. That sucked.
Yeah, Fire Emblem 7 cropped on me.
Know the feeling.
Yeah, I guess we'll start on our material pretty soon, because we have quite a bit of things to go through today. The first one is Tales of Graces F. We'll most likely skip a North American release. It's basically another Tales RPG originating on the Wii, making its way to the PS3. Unfortunately, we probably won't be seeing it over here. What do you guys think about most of these Japanese releases not making it overseas?
I just say it's pure BS that there's so many good exclusive Japanese games that don't make it to North America shorts. Just BS to pull a move like that.
For me, I can see the company's idea that in their minds, it's people, because the games are so Japanese and so different, that American gamers might not want to play them. American and gamers all over the world might not want to play them because they're so different. That's probably why Miramax didn't do as well over here as they would have thought. But the thing that kind of is more insulting to me is that there are people who would like to import those games, and the fact that the Wii, I think, is region-locked if you don't pirate or if you don't homebrew it.
Yeah, it's region-locked.
The fact that the Wii is region-locked is only really supporting the piracy people's claims as to why they do it, because you're not allowing people to play games that are exclusive to regions. I think region exclusive games are kind of, as John said, BS and silly, and we should be allowed to play whatever games we pay for to play.
My take on it is if it's a huge franchise like what Tales is, it's Tales of Symphonia made it over here on the GameCube and also the Wii as well, and there's a couple other Tales games on the PS2 and other systems as well. But if it's a smaller franchise, I can understand why they might not bring it over to North America due to cultural differences. But if it's a major franchise, why not bring it over? You've already made the game, and it's just basically localizing, and that's pretty much it. You've got a huge market over here in North America, and parts of, like, a good part of Europe as well is willing to buy into it as well.
Yeah, the other thing that they could have done was something like what Capcom did with Capcom versus Tatsunoko, is they could have people, like, it's web, it's internet, there's a lot of people, on, like, you can do things on the internet almost instantly now. You could have a fan site and see if how many people would like to have it over here, or maybe even creating special exclusive deals. It really wouldn't take very much for them to localize it, because a lot of people who play games in the Japanese version, all they really want are English subtitles. And they're good to go. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just it's quite a bit of a big series, if it, so why not? And as you said, if it was a unknown series, it'd make a little bit more sense. But games have been ported over here, so who knows?
Yeah, even if it was a smaller title, they could just simply put in English subtitles, since even if it was a niche market, most of us that play within the niche market don't mind having just the English subtitles and having the Japanese dubs over top of that.
In fact, people actually purchase games specifically for the Japanese audio, like Final Fantasy. I've heard of people who just import the Final Fantasy games. It's not on the Wii, mind you, but they just import them mainly to play with the Japanese audio because some people are peers and can't stand dubs for whatever reason.
I'm actually geared towards that because sometimes I hear some things in Japanese and then when I hear the English dubs, it's sometimes badly done. So I see why people would prefer the Japanese with English subtitles. You're probably somewhat in that area as well.
Yeah, that was one of my little nitpicky things with Other M is why they didn't put in Japanese audio. As far as I know, there isn't one. They have in other languages that, for me, or I don't really need them. Anyways.
Yeah.
Next topic, or?
So, yeah, there's a Blu-ray update for the PS3 that will include the PS Move support for more of its features like the web browser. It's good that it's getting support, but right now I don't see enough support from the third-party publishers with the PS Move and possibly even further down in the future with the Kinect. It has a huge chance that it's going to flop or not do really successfully, especially after the success we've seen with motion control on the Wii. So it's pretty much riding all on the software right now. If the third-party and first-party publishers are going to support this hardware.
Personally, I don't think the PS Move will have this. Like right now, it's probably the best motion control that we have available for almost any console at the moment. But the problem is, as you said, the software at the moment isn't something that would grab a lot of people who are hardcore or people who are casual, because casual has already been assorted, associated with the Wii. So what they really have to do is make games where you have that happy medium between hardcore, casual, and then perhaps after finding that nice sort of balance, make games that are more geared towards hardcore and geared more towards non-gamers or casuals.
Yeah, and there's a huge price difference as well. A PS3 with a PS Move bundled together separately, of course, is I think about $400 if you buy them separately. For that price, you can actually get two Wiis or one Wii with almost a full set of controllers, so...
And if you want, even a 360. Just out of...
Yeah, or 360 with... Or 360 with part of the cost covered for Kinect as well.
But I think 360 and Kinect is about 400, though. Something along the lines of that, 300 to 400.
450.
Maybe 450 for the arcade model and
there's currently
Kinect.
Not a price for it.
Yeah, I guess.
Sorry about that.
Anything else to add on this, or are you guys good for it?
Pretty good.
The next thing we have is Sony Computer Entertainment of America wants the other OS class action lawsuit that's against them to be dismissed, and says it has the right to update their firmware through the PSN contract. in my opinion, they're taking away part of the functionality that some of the people that actually bought the PS3 wanted to have, is to install another OS on it, like Linux or whatever program they wanted to run on that thing. And of course, it was pretty secure for the PS3 hardware to run said other OS.
You want to start first, or?
So exactly what is the other OS?
It's a function on the PS3 that Sony took out. You could install your own OS, which operating system, like Linux, Windows, or what have you, say, whatever operating system you want. But there's the risk of people hacking it through this option. But there are people like, I think the US military actually bought a whole bunch of PlayStation 3s just to run their simulations or whatever they have on the PS3s because of the other OS function.
I don't know. I don't think Sony's doing what's best for their own product, so I don't see why they should be being sued over something that will protect themselves. Also, I think this loss is just a little bit much.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's money that could go to pretty much anything. Like, it's essentially it's helping Sony, but it's, I don't know. For me, I'd agree with John.
By removing this, it just seems like they're protecting themselves. Not as in protecting themselves from lawsuits, just protecting their hardware from piracy.
Yeah, that's the only thing that would actually make sense, but there are people that aren't interested in pirating it, but using it for legitimate purposes that Sony's screwing over right now. Yeah, and that's pretty much it, I guess. We'll move on to our next topic. Is Dead Space Extraction is heading to the PS3 with PS Move support. Dead Space Extraction originated from the Wii, which is a prequel to the Dead Space franchise. It's moves like this that, no pun intended, of course, that games that originally were on the Wii are now migrating over to the 360 and the PS3.
Well, I can see why the developer would want to do that, because they figure when they released it on the Wii, they said originally it was going to be an exclusive. And the thing is, the Wii has potential for having a lot of good games, but usually they don't meet the demand. Like, when you see how many Wiis have been bought, how many we figure are actually in people's homes, companies, when they release a game, expect a lot of money back, considering how many Wiis there are. Getting off topic, what I mean to say is, with Dead Extraction being on the PS3 with Move support, it's literally just a company trying to make more money off of one of their games. And my guess is because there are more people on Sony, and possibly if they make one for the Xbox later, who like this kind of game. I mean, since the PS3 Move is the closest thing to a Wii controller, it just kind of makes sense for them to put the game to the PS3, for them to make either more money and for more people to get into the game.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
As you said, I just see it as a way to make money. It's a good series, so why not do it?
Yeah, I guess that kind of wraps it up for that for now, I guess. The next thing is EA has buckled under pressure to change the name of the enemies and the new Medal of Honor from the Taliban to the opposing forces. Although we have been talking about this before. I think that the name change is kind of unnecessary because we've done like other games that are terrorists versus troops or terrorists versus counter-terrorists type of thing since the 1990s, which of course everyone remembers a Counter-Strike, so that's a prime example of terrorists versus a counter-terrorist game.
You want to start on this one, or?
This is just one of those sensitive issues. I mean, does it really matter that they're called the Taliban? They could be called the Russians or the Germans, for all that matters, and it's still going to be the same game. So a name change isn't going to change the gameplay. It's just a sensitive issue. The only reason it's not going to take away from actual game itself.
I'd agree with John. You could have called them pretty much whatever you want, terrorists or terrorists, and essentially just giving them a name on the face. Like, if you're playing the game and they're already modeled to look like that, people are going to say they look like these game characters look awfully, an awful lot like, well, those kind of fighters. So, anyways, it's
Yeah.
not just done to protect sensitive issues.
Yeah, and if you actually see the screenshots, they don't actually look like the Taliban. But then yet again, it's all point of view pretty much.
It's like, what does the Taliban look like to you? They could literally look like anybody if they wanted to, so.
Yeah, especially since terrorism is kind of getting a global outreach, like global reach these days.
It's been around for forever, pretty much. It's just the way that it's just the sensitivity and people actually noticing it, and the actual after 9/11, it's just it became more real for people, I guess.
Yeah, and it of course hit home pretty hard, especially being on North American soil.
Mm-hmm. With that, I'd agree.
Yeah. Just culturally sensitive issue. I don't exactly blame EA for buckling. They're just trying to avoid bad publicity if they don't. As they're probably doing, they're just saving their own assets, and it doesn't really look like it's a big issue altogether.
Yeah, and basically, let's say they went through with it and then people started complaining because of the name. They're just basically avoiding potential lawsuit.
I think this pretty much wraps
the Taliban plays video games. I don't really see much of an issue.
Yeah, I guess this kind of wraps it up for this Medal of Honor issue that's been going on for the past couple of months. We'll move on to the next thing. It's for 360. Microsoft has confirmed that Halo Reach is glitching up on some older models of the 360. And I'm not sure if they're doing too much to fix it at the moment, though. But they are aware of this problem, and they have confirmed it.
So all we're pretty much looking at is disk errors, right?
Yeah, it's coding errors,
maybe
basically.
A little bit of freezing.
Yeah, that's... I guess that's the gist of this issue that's come up with a Halo Reach. I'm sure it doesn't affect... I'm sure it doesn't affect overly much of all the users. Like, it only affects a small percent of users, but of course, anyone that invests $60 into a game wants to play the game on the system.
Yeah, and well, it's probably not a big issue. Due to 360's major technical flaw, I highly doubt you'll see too many older model 360's around anymore. It's probably only affects maybe like less than maybe 5% of all 360's out there, because If you have a 360, it's bound to be within 2 years at least.
Probably, unless you just bought one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see it as... Disk errors have been a problem in all systems, so I don't see this as too much of an issue as far as the game. Halo's a great series. It's not going to turn people away from buying it just because of... I mean, disk errors are problems, but it's a minor thing to stop people from playing Halo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to the next title that we have is Two Worlds 2, which is an RPG for the 360, PS3, and the desktop platforms. It's originally slated to come out this month, but has been delayed till January of 2011, mainly to stomp out any software bugs and doing a bit of polishing up on the gameplay and stuff. Which is in a way good, because I'd like to see them like more polished, and I know they won't be bug free, but like slimming down on the bugs that are actually within the software. And it's good to see publishers actually putting in the time to actually do this kind of stuff to make their product worthwhile, more worthwhile and more stable.
Because even though some newer people may not care for gameplay, but gameplay is key. I'd rather wait for a game to be better than just rush it out on release. Usually when games are released, there's usually a lot of problems. I mean, when games are rushed, there's usually problems with them.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on those points. Just the one only counter-argument to this probably would be games that they show pictures of and they show trailers of before the system's even launched, and people are still waiting for said games now. Grand Theft Auto 5. Polishing is great, but companies take the time to polish the games and make them better. But if you're taking years to polish a game, it's not really considering polished. It's considering you should. It's just weird if they take more. If they take an excessive amount of time to polish a game, then that's just kind of weird. Unless it's the last game of their series.
Yeah, if they take more than about 6 to 9 months, usually to polish up a game, it's taking a little too long. If you're taking more than 6 to 9 months to get rid of some bugs and polish it up. If it's like, as James said, if it's the last one in the series, I don't mind waiting like a year, just slightly over a year for that game. But any longer than that, it's just way too long to wait for a game.
Because essentially what you get is like Final Fantasy 13, where you have that game come out, then you have the next game come out in like 2 or 3 months later, or couple of months to a year later, and then the next game isn't going to be as hyped up because people have been waiting for 4 years for the next game to come out.
Yeah.
Or friggin' they thought it was going to come out in a couple of months. Although the reverse of that is Zelda, where you have one awesome game at an Ocarina of Time, and then you have 18 months later you get Majora's Mask. So how long does it really take to make an awesome game?
I'm kind of counter-arguing on Majora's Mask. I'm probably one of those few ones. I think Majora's Mask was great. Personally, it wasn't as big of a hit as the first one.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was only 18 months in development and still turned out really good for games. When you look at it nowadays, a lot of the big title games take years to make, and that one was done in 18 months. So
a year and a half. Most
AAA
titles usually take anywhere from like 2.5, 3, maybe even 4 years. Because Final Fantasy 13 was supposed to release at the tail end of the PS3's life cycle, but we've been waiting another, I think, about 3 years for it since the PS3 launched late 2006, and it was finally released earlier this year in March.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like three and a half years, I think, for it to actually be fully processed. On that note, Final Fantasy VII won't be getting a full remake for the whatever system they plan it to. But they are going to do a little bit of a remake for one of its spin-offs, Before Crisis, which used to be a cell phone game. They're looking at making it into a 3DS game.
Porting it, right? Porting it or remaking it for 3DS?
I think remaking and or at least tweaking it in some way to upgrade some graphics and stuff, but I'm not 100% sure. They're looking into it. That's what I can say for now.
That's pretty cool. Why not make it? Are we moving on to the next topic, or
yeah.
Any final thoughts?
I guess that's final thoughts for this kind of thing.
Yeah, just in general, you might as well just, you want to move down to Gears of 3, or Gears of War 3, just kind of on the same sort of topic,
yeah.
Or...
Yeah, let's kind of move on to Gears 3, and we'll go back to Kinect after Gears.
Okay.
Yeah, it's another 5 months delay for Gears of War 3. It's going to come out about this time next year in fall 2011. It's going to be last Gears of War game in the series, in this trilogy, basically. I think it, same thing, they're going to polish it a bit more, get rid of bugs and polish it. It's basically the same deal with Two Worlds 2 RPG that we talked about earlier, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably agree with that with your statement there. The other thing that I might be able, that I might see is if they're waiting to release it, there are probably things that aren't complete with the game yet, because as far as I know, there aren't that many super, super big titles coming out between now and Christmas, as far as I know. So for them to miss a Christmas launch and get a lot more sales, it probably means that there's a lot of work that needs to be done and redone for Gears of War 3.
Yeah,
hopefully
it was, they were looking at a early, a spring 2011 launch, but I think the other thing as well is that they want to push it back to the fall, since the fall and early winter, which is basically between September and, like, November, is a huge launch window for the Christmas season. So they would be able to launch it then and have a lot of sales in the first 4 months that 2 to 4 months that's out during the Christmas season.
Yeah, get people hungry over summer for the next game.
Being the last in the series, they've got to make it good, because if you end it off with a bad note, then
no one else will want to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll pretty much wrap it up for Gears of War for now. We'll talk a little bit about Kinect. It does not need any internal processor, so it's just feeding off of the actual console, which they say doesn't draw more than about 1 or 2% off of the processing power of the 360, which I doubt, because cameras do use quite a bit of processing power, so they either have to have a decent set of processor, like a bit of processing within the camera, or draw a little bit more processing power out of the console.
You can start. Is there an idea for that, or John?
So it's going to be drawing right off of the processor of the 360, then. That might just cause more problems for the 360 system itself. If it's working more as part of the processor, won't that just cause more problems with the heating? So
yeah,
that might just be one of those things you got to wait and really see how it affects the 360. You're probably right, they're undershooting what it'll actually do, but probably not going to be that big of an issue, depending on how much it does draw.
Basically, so long as it doesn't turn 360 and give it a new name, K R O R R O D, as long as it doesn't become that, I think Microsoft will be fine. What they really have to focus on is the Kinect actually working for people. That's the main thing. So long as Kinect works and 360 works in connection with Kinect, then people will buy the product. I think that's what Microsoft will be most worried about having happen. And judging from people's reactions from 3D, from 3 demos and whatnot, I say the reaction is kind of most.
Yeah, as we said the first time when we introduced this product, it's pretty much one of those hit and miss products. Either it's going to do well or it's going to do bad. Sure, it has its bugs, but it still has its potential.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll segue to our next topic. It's a little thing that we most of us should remember from E3 2009. From the Project Natal / Kinect unveiling and demo as Project Milo, which is that virtual kid within the TV that you could interact with. I think it's a really cool technology, but unfortunately, it's been canceled. I'd like to see something in the future come up again and do something similar to this. It's actually a really neat software that they really had there, but yeah, unfortunately it's been cancelled now.
Alright, well, Project Milo essentially was almost like communicating with a character almost physically in a virtual space. Although, well, a lot of people like the idea of the technology. I think at the moment it was still a little bit, for me, it was a little bit creepy, just a little bit, because you're interacting with this little boy, and you're just talking to him, and you're just, and also, it's just a little bit weird, like, to spend this much time with someone in a video game rather than actually talking to people who you know in real life, per se. But anyways, the idea and the concept was essentially something that was milled in my mind to help sell the Kinect for other gaming purposes, like perhaps as a virtual friend simulator, perhaps. I don't know. Like, there are a lot of ideas with this, but I don't know. I mean, and I'm not even sure if it's going to be canceled for sure, because I'm not sure if Microsoft themselves have released a statement or the actual company has released a statement. Until they've done that, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think that for now all you can do is speculate.
Yeah, I think that Microsoft or the company that is dealing with this technology, at least, confirmed that they are canceling this project, and that most likely, in my opinion, that they're going to use some of the technology that they developed with Project Milo with other programs at Microsoft or other Kinect-related games may use in the future.
Because, that was a pretty interesting technology, I have to say, nonetheless. Even though some people might have found that a little bit creepy, the technology itself was something that was somewhat interesting. Like, it could, like, you could see it possibly becoming a simulator type of game, or a whole new genre of games that focus on a sort of simulation or almost like Heavy Rain in a sense, but with a camera in front of you and a character that you could probably have more of an emotional physical reaction, like just looking at your face, and they could maybe look at your face in a sense as well. So that would be a little bit interesting.
Probably a little bit premature for the time being. I guess maybe they didn't see the full use of it, and I don't exactly know the reasoning behind it being cancelled, but
yeah, I agree that it is the technology is premature to be released into the market at the moment, but maybe in 5 to 10 years, maybe even longer, then maybe after they've really worked on it to really polish it out and work out all the kinks that are in this software and program, that it can actually be a fully fledged application that can be used not just for video games, but also out in the real world, like how the Wii has been used in physical therapy in hospitals and rehab, like physical rehabilitation centers with a Wii Fit.
I think pretty much Project Man's success was based on the Kinect, so I guess you have to wait and see what Kinect will do before releasing something on this. But, yeah. It's probably really based on Kinect's success to see where this will go.
The whole thing involved with having Kinect and Move essentially is, it's been about 4 or 5 years for most of the companies now, for their consoles have been on the market for 4 or 5 years now, and essentially these products to me are just the companies trying to extend their systems or their current console or home console systems for another couple years before the next, for they decided on the next technologies for the next systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by extending this cycle, which is the traditional 5-year cycle that each generation used to have, is of course being broken now, with what James said with Microsoft and Sony trying to extend the life of the two systems. I think that possibly we need to break this 5-year traditional mold that we used to have with the console cycle, with either a longer cycle, which benefits both
the consumer and the
console makers, with more games being released, more units being sold, and of course the consumers don't need to buy a new system every 5 years, which costs anywhere from $200 up to like $600-$700 possibly.
Yeah. The other thing, though, is that I had an idea and I kind of lost my train of thought, but with systems, you have Sony claiming that their systems last for 10 years. Sure, they are still making PS2 games, and people are still buying were still buying PS2s when the PS3 was released. Essentially, what Sony was doing was they were making systems and trying to have them last in order to pay off their new systems, because they're not making money back. But anyways, the main thing is technology keeps changing faster and faster and faster. So
yeah.
in the future, video games, it's going to be harder and harder to future-proof them for 5 years. Like, how long will the next system last? Will it be 5 years? Will it be 6 years? Will it last for even 3 years? Because technology just keeps jumping so quickly.
Yeah, especially with a PC market, like, you build a top-of-the-line PC now, and within half a year, it'll be pretty much obsolete with the new games that are coming out, the new technology, like,
even
new video cards.
Phones.
Yeah, even cell phones, within 3 months, like, say you get a new phone like the iPhone or the Samsung Galaxy S,
yeah.
Like, within half a year, like, 20 new phones come out and basically, your new phone isn't so new anymore.
And it's old. And not retro.
Yeah.
And not retro old, but just old.
Yeah.
And so, we're just gonna have to see.
It's just a matter of expectations. I mean, people just want newer things faster. That's why things don't last as long as they used to. I mean, as James pointed out, the PS2, I mean, it's on its ending cycle, but it's been around for 10 years.
Yeah.
But
it's not just on its ending. It's been on its last legs for the past, since probably 08, probably it's been.
Yeah.
Dead
for
since,
me, it's been. Sorry.
Yeah, it's been pretty dead since, like, the end of 08, the early 09. It's been pretty dead for both the, of course, the GameCube pretty much died out right after the Wii was released, but it's like...
Although you could still play games on games on the Wii.
But the actual system itself is like made obsolete. But with the PS2, it's been on its tail end of its life cycle since like 2007, 2008.
At least 2008.
For me, since you hear a new system, I figure most people, if the money is there, they would go for the new system versus buying an old system.
Yeah.
True. Pretty much, the only thing going for PS2 is game sales. I don't think anybody's buying any systems now.
Yeah, like, all the games...
Some people might, because if you look at the PS2 games versus the PS3 games, some people might take the lesser quality game to save like maybe 10-15 bucks on a game, PS2 game versus PS3 game.
PS2 games now, like if you buy them new, like range anywhere from 5 to 15 bucks, and there's a ton of used PS2 games for a similar price, like below $20 for a lot of the games that are out there.
Yeah.
For all the older systems, for the old Xbox, the GameCube, and the PS2, you can find a ton of games under 20 bucks that are great games that used to sell for 40, 50 bucks when they were new.
Yeah. Well, even sometimes I do that. I still find great game labels that for a good price.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next topic. We've been meandering off topic for a couple of minutes, I guess. Rhythm Heaven and Fatal Frame is heading to the Wii later within the next couple months, which I find is, of course, neat that it's things like these are going multi-platform.
Yeah, my question is, wasn't there a Fatal Frame game for the Wii a couple years ago released in Japan that never saw the light of day over here in North American shores?
Yeah. But there is a fan-based translation for that Fatal Frame. I think it was Fatal Frame 4 that got that treatment. Translation treatment.
Although there are some who have said that because of Wii's updating anti-piracy updates / firmware updates, it makes it harder and harder for people to actually pirate / import these games to play.
Yeah, especially with the last one, with them switching over from whatever region it was to the Korean version of the firmware, which totally messed up the homebrew community, which I think they're already working on some kind of solution to do a workaround.
Mm-hmm. But even still, the fact that you have a group of people that are that dedicated to having games come out for everyone. Like, if I was Nintendo and I'm thinking about this from a business point, wouldn't it make more sense to hire those piracy people to import and translate those games for everybody who wants to play them?
It would make perfect business sense to do that, but knowing Nintendo, they have done something similar before with one of the Earthbound games. They pretty much told, like, there was a group of people that were legitimately trying to do it. They were sending, like, letters off to Nintendo that they wanted to do a fan translation, and there is a fan translation for Mother 3, I think. Although Nintendo said, like, we don't condone it, please. And I think they had a cease and desist or something like that. I can't, if I remember correctly. So, yeah. Nintendo's is a little protective with their franchises in that way.
A little protective, perhaps a little overprotective, but it's their money that they're losing, in my opinion. And it's just you have different people looking at things differently. And until views change on piracy, and the reason why it exists is basically because video game companies are stupid in some respects. Until that's realized, I don't think we're going to see much change.
Yeah. The only reason piracy exists is to get around what they should have done in the first place. That or people are just cheap, but it's mostly just because people want something that the company hasn't even done yet. Like Flash translation.
And of course,
applications that people want to run on their systems that aren't
better.
Yeah. Like applications that they want to run on their system that the company hasn't either come out with, or it's a better version of it, or along those lines. Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next topic. Is Mario is celebrating its 25-year anniversary with a limited edition Super Mario Bros. DSi and DSi LL, which is the XL in other regions. It's being released exclusively in Japan at the end of this month. I'd love to see more of these exclusive consoles from Japan make it out of Japan and onto other regions like Europe and North America, because all these exclusives aren't that great for all those fans outside of Japan.
Again, I don't see why they're making all the big names exclusive. I mean, it'll do. Look at Mario's a well-known series. That'll do well here, just as it'll do well in Japan. So why make it exclusive?
I agree with that. Other than the fact that Nintendo could be or might be scared that it might not sell as much as that it would sell a lot more in Japan than it would over here. Because a lot of people over here might be thinking DS is on its last legs over here. And they might not be inclined to buying another DS or having a DS just for the sake of collecting.
Yeah, on the last legs kind of thing, it's even closer that it's even more on its last legs in Japan, because Japan will be getting the 3DS before we will. As usual. February 26th released for it. We will be moving on to that a little later.
The other thing about it, though, probably is it's 25 years. I don't know if that's specifically for Japan or for both Japan and over here. But I'd agree with you. If you really want to sell it to everybody, like, why not just inquire? Like, the internet is there. They even had a voting channel where you could make up your own things on the Wii. I've never seen it used very well, though.
Yeah, or even send out, like, a email out to all the users out there, because even with Club Nintendo, which most of us might not know about, is a service that they do have out there for signing up for games and stuff. They can collect points for at the end of the year. You can get something like a small little gift or something from them. They could set up something on that site, like a poll or something, or an email telling us that there is a poll that they could create. Like, would you be interested in buying a DS, like a DSi, special edition DSi that commemorates a special occasion for one of their major franchises?
About that last leg thing, maybe you are right about that. I mean, who would enter a game on a DSi when you get about a 3DS coming up soon? But then yet again, it might be for collection reasons or.
Although on another note, while the 3DS is on its last legs, Pokemon is on the DS is selling like crazy over there. They've already sold, I think Pokemon Black and White has sold over 3 million copies in Japan now, which makes it the fastest game in Japan. To
fastest
get
selling game in Japan in the history of video games so far. Which is pretty huge, so.
And that's on the DS, a console that's on its last leg. That's had about 4 different Pokemon games, especially including both Black and White or Gold and Silver versions. So I'd say that's pretty incredible, considering that we've had about three or four different games.
Yeah, it has Black and White, Gold, Silver, and Gold and Silver. I think it had
Pearl, Diamond,
and Platinum. So it's basically
3 or 4.
Like,
and all the spin-offs.
Technically, for the DS, it's like 2 main game series, but you have Heart and Gold, which is technically one, and then you got the other 3, that's another one. But yeah, you're right, the spin-offs like Ranger and others.
Ranger, Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still selling like crazy. What is it, 10, 15 years since Pokemon launched?
It's been about 15 years, I think. 12 to 15 years, I think. It's been around It's been around for like 15 years or so, I think.
1995 or 1997?
Are we talking about Japanese or...
We're talking Japanese, maybe 1995.
I think it was 95. This year was close to late.
It was 96, 97.
Yeah.
Yeah, late 90s. Here in North America, it's late 96. But yeah, in Japan,
it's 15 years pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a pretty big fourth franchise that started for kids. And yeah, even some adults like us are still playing on this franchise, which is huge because we did grow up with this franchise over the 15 years that it's been in existence.
Probably, didn't know about it for another couple of years, until a couple of years later, but
yeah.
Probably, at least for me, I didn't know about Pope. I didn't really get it. I don't remember when the third Pokemon.
I think the show over here in North America started around about the same time the games were released over here.
It could have been 97, but the games are, because the shows are a little bit slower.
Yeah, they're going to be.
Yeah. Like, the show is basically to advertise for the game, so it's like, basically you can look at it as one really long commercial.
That's been going on for over 10 years now.
Yeah.
Just like Mario, Pokemon is one of the top selling series around.
Yeah, I guess any other comments on this topic, or?
I think we should probably move on before we get too far off topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, our next thing is there is a new Kirby game in the works for the DS. Even though the DS is on its way out early next year, this is a separate game from Canvas Curse and all those other ones, and of course different from the one that's coming out on the Wii this year with Kirby's Epic Yarn. It's a totally different Kirby game, exclusive for the DS.
You want to start, or? Well, it's been a while since they released one for the handhelds, and what I'm wondering is it going to be exclusively for the DS, which, as we said, is pretty much on its last legs, you know, or is it going to be for the 3DS, because it just says a game for the DS.
Yeah, the DS, not the 3DS.
I don't know if there are screenshots that are actually for the game itself, but it looks like they are.
Yeah, it looks like it's just a DS game, but the 3DS can support a DS game, so...
Yeah, so...
I guess that works, though.
But it's still gonna be playable.
And, I mean, it's a Kirby game, so... I don't think people will mind that much, because it's Kirby.
Kirby's fine in the 13.
Yeah.
Back from Crystal Shards on the 64, right?
Crystal Shards wasn't the first Kirby game, but yeah, it was...
Probably one of the bigger games.
It was one of the ones by that I came into Kirby because I didn't have the SNES, so.
Actually, that one, 64 was actually my first Kirby game I played.
Hmm. Yeah, so if they're making a new Kirby game for the handhelds and the consoles, that's cool.
Yeah.
So long as they don't overlap.
I don't think they'll be overlapping at all, because they are two separate titles that they were, I think, working on simultaneously. So they should have separate storylines and, of course, different gameplay mechanics.
I don't know. I don't know if I overlap was the release dates. Judging by how we think Epic Yarn is set to release before Christmas, along with the game doesn't release that.
I'm thinking for the Kirby DS game, it's going to be released early on in the 2011
spring,
year cycle.
Summer.
Yeah. Well, early on, either in February or in April is where I'm guessing it's going to come out. It's usually, those are the more popular months for Nintendo to release games like this, I guess.
Yeah. Which is probably good. Because your whole point with the games overlapping, because they overlapped being within a month of each other. People aren't going to go for the DS one. They're going to go for the 3DS.
Yeah. Or they'd go for, or I just, if they're looking for a Kirby game, and they have Epic Yarn, which is for the Wii, and another handheld game, they'll likely go, if they have both systems, they're going to go for the console, because it's been longer since they've had a console experience Kirby.
Yeah. Because the last console board has been the 64 one. Because I don't think GameCube released the Kirby game.
It's hard to say.
Because Kirby, what was it, Canvas Curve?
Canvas Curve was on the DS.
DS, you sure? Wasn't the GBA?
Canvas Curve was on the DS, if I remember correctly. I think I played on the DS with Canvas Curve.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next story is Cammy Dunaway, which is the voice of Nintendo, kind of, has left Nintendo for another exec position outside the video game industry. Which is probably good for her as well, because she isn't that immersed into the video game industry to begin with. Like, she's like the soccer mom type of person, I guess.
Mm-hmm. For me, yeah, I'd probably agree with you. To me, whenever she came onto the stage at E3 Games, I kind of cringed a little bit and said, where's Reggie putting it back on? To be honest. But it was just good for her. This is a decision that she's made, good for her. Pretty much it gets the transfer to somebody else. It means more Reggie, that's cool. If she has moved off to something outside of video games, if it's her choice, that's cool. That's all I can really say. I didn't really care much for her one way or another, to be honest.
And never heard of her, so I guess I'm not that big on who runs Nintendo, so.
And it was in an NOA position, too, so.
Yeah. I guess we'll move on to the next thing we have is the 3DS is finally priced and dated for Japan. It's going to be released on February 26, 2011 for 25,000 yen, which is converted to about 300 US dollars, and you'll include an auto update feature to combat the rampant piracy that has plagued the DS and DSi. And Nintendo's looking at Spot Pass for the auto update feature for the 3DS. And also, if you do own a DSi, all your DSi game like DSiWare games are transferable to your 3DS. And there have been a couple of 3DS specs leaked out with the CPU running at 266 megahertz, ARM 11, a Pika 200 133 megahertz GPU by DMP, which we've known about for a couple of months, 64 megs of RAM, video RAM for the 3DS is running at 4 megs, and the storage capacity for it will be 1.5 gigs.
Flash based too.
Yeah, which is a lot faster than a hard drive.
Yeah, so that should be pretty good actually. Especially considering for the specs that they're all ground up built and purpose built for a handheld system, that's pretty good. In my opinion, it's pretty good. I know that there are cell phones and such out now that have higher specs and higher res specs, but that's because cell phones are doing a lot of different processing things at once, and because they're making a new cell phone every other year. When you make a DS or a handheld system, you make something that's about as good as what's out currently, or maybe just slightly behind what's out currently, so that they can mass produce these things for people to buy. To be honest, having the specs that they are now, I don't really know much about it, but judging from what I've seen of screenshots and images, it works pretty well. It seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, especially for the price point they're asking for is $300 for the Japanese price, which are probably going to drop down to about 250 or 275 here. So basically for about $250, which is getting...
Speculation.
Yeah, speculation price, of course. Getting your money's worth out of it, because like, if you're looking at something that's similar price for a phone, like a phone that will do much more for, like, say you have an example is a Samsung Galaxy S, you're getting a Super AMOLED screen and a 1 gigahertz processor, among other things, like a 16 gig flash based memory, all for $500, which is pretty much double the price of the 3DS, and you're not even getting a 3D screen on any of the phones that are out there right now. Although, like, the components...
Although the price is good, though.
Yeah. Although the components are different, it's kind of comparing apples and oranges here, because they are two totally different things.
Yeah.
Like, one is dedicated a game device with some other features. One is a dedicated phone device with applications that can be games as well. So it's comparing apples and oranges here, basically.
The other thing about 3DS that I've seen so far is that it has a lot of features for a handheld, like tag mode. It seems to almost always be on. It's almost always on, doing rankings and online rankings and whatnot. There's an interesting video for Street Fighter 4 demo. Street Fighter 4, where they had people walking around or playing the game, and then all of a sudden they have a challenger appear, and it was somebody else playing the same game within your area, and all of a sudden you could battle them, which was kind of cool. They also have this other thing called augmented reality games, where basically it seems like there's this little card, and from the little card you start to play a game that's almost like... The closest thing that I can remember playing or seeing that looks like this would be something like PS3's Eye of Judgment. But for the price of $300 and for the games that we're already seeing that are slated for launch, hopefully it's Nintendo launch, and by that I mean it's released within 12 to 18 months, all these launch title games, and now that we're seeing current demos of, that these games come out in 12 to 18 months and not like 5-6 years after we're seeing demos for them. Because seriously, for some of the games that they're demoing and showing off now, they look almost on par with 360 or PS3 titles like Super Street Fighter 4, Resident Evil 5, and Metal Gear Solid 3, I think Snake Eater, the naked sample. Those games, while they're in demo form, they still look very impressive for 3DS. They basically look like their console counterparts with a few changes and a lower resolution, which is probably inherent of the screen being at a lower resolution than what you're playing those console games on. Also, the virtual feature.
Yeah.
The virtual wear feature for 3DS, being able to play pretty much having all of Nintendo's backlog category.
Yeah, it's a virtual console for the 3DS, which we will be getting a lot of the Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance games on there. Which is great, because we didn't get that on the DSi. We would have loved it to be on the DSi, but it never came into fruition. There's a lot of titles that some of us would like to catch up on that we missed out on the early 90s that we might have not had the money or time for to actually get those games, like Link's Awakening DX or some of the Metroid game for the Game Boy as well.
Or games that we might not have, or people who might not even have handhelds back then, or people that are kids now, they wouldn't have been able to play a game from the 90s usually. If they're only 10 now, they wouldn't have been able to play a game from the 90s. Also, being able to play Metroid 2 in color without piracy, that would be pretty awesome. And there are a lot of other games that could possibly release as well. What about all the games that were released overseas that we didn't get, that we weren't allowed to play? We'll be able to play those games as well, like, literally, as I think it's actually the limit for Nintendo with this backlog category. It's
yeah.
Just so huge.
On that note, we'll have a discussion on what were your favorite games on the current systems and, of course, previous systems, like, take a look at some of the older games that we've played throughout the years and choose one that you think that's that you really like.
A game that I can't get now, or a game, just a game?
Like any game that's out now
or
on older system as well. Like any game, basically.
Okay. You want to start, John, or should I?
Even though I've played a fan translation version of it, but it ported eventually to English, I have to say FAN1-6.
Oh, yeah, the one with Roy.
Yeah. Because I think ever since Melee was introduced, I think people would have really wanted to play 6, but just because it only was Japanese, but I guess that's a separate issue.
Yeah, it would still be, it's still a game that you've played and it's probably one of your favorites, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see that game come out over here.
Yeah. Ever since, because I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but ever since Melee came out, it's brought recognition to the Fire Emblem games, but 6 because of Roy, and we've gotten the chance to play the first one with Mara, and the third one that's coming out also featured Mara.
The other thing that it would do is it would curb their need for remakes.
Yeah.
I mean, they remade Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then the next Fire Emblem game was a remake of 2 and 3.
No,
a remake of 3.
3. 2 is just the backstory of
1. And then they went on to remake 3. And now you're wondering, when are they going to make the next Fire Emblem game that's a new game? Because, I mean, while playing remakes is great, I think a lot of us would still like to try to play the original games, or at least have a chance to play the original games.
But yeah, I see your point. They really do need a new Fire Emblem game, because, as you said, 10 came out in 7, and that's kind of based off of 6, which, 9 that came out in 2005?
Yeah, or 4. So, though. And the other thing is, the Fire Emblem that came out in 2007 was released within the launch window of Wii, and was essentially a GameCube port.
Yeah.
It was, don't get me wrong, for me it was still a really good game. I'm still trying to figure out if it was just that long and complex, but...
Unfortunately, yeah. I haven't had the opportunity. 10 yet, which, it's been 3 years, I don't know why.
For me, there are games that I could play again. I never got around to actually being able to play, when it came out, Zero Mission for Metroid and Metroid Fusion. I've seen them through emulations and whatnot, and I'd really like to play them again just as they were intended to be played, not on the PC or whatnot, but as they were intended to be played. That'd be pretty awesome to play those games. One of my favorite games from back in the day would be on N64, maybe GoldenEye, which is why I'm pretty psyched that it's coming out into the Wii.
Unfortunately, one game that was pretty big on the N64 that I actually didn't really get a good chance to play was Star Fox 64.
Yeah, and now it's coming back to 3DS, so
yeah.
that's pretty
yeah.
awesome.
I've played it a little bit, but I've never actually gotten to play the game, because I've never owned it.
One of the big draws for me for the Virtual Console is going back and playing games that I couldn't play when I was younger, because I didn't have the systems.
Yeah.
Like Super Metroid, I didn't have a Super NES, I know, Shaw, or whatever. But for me, and then when I finally got to play it, for me it became one of my favorite games of all time for me. I still love that game. I think it's probably one of the best, if not the best, Metroid game ever. I think that being able to go back and play games that we might not have been allowed to play otherwise is really awesome. And if I was...
It kind of gears towards the older generation that's been with Nintendo since the 90s. And well, just giving something that they'll enjoy, as well as the younger generations who haven't had the opportunity to play all these great titles like Star Fox 64.
And Metroids and other games like this. Like, for me, like, a game that I'd really like to see come back is, of course, Star Wars Flight Sims.
Rogue Squadron.
like those ones, like X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter, X-Wing Alliance, that was on the PC. Unfortunately, the software company that made those games is Factor 5, which went down about, I think, last year or early this year. They went out of business due to a partnership with Sony to make Layer for the PS3. But LucasArts does still own the franchise, like Star Wars franchise, obviously. And I'd like to see either a spin-off of that series or even like an HD update to that game. That would totally make my day if George Lucas actually does that someday, or LucasArts actually does that one day. I'd be really happy if they did, because those games were really good. But on that note, Star Wars is actually being rendered in 3D currently right now, and it's going to be in theaters, I think, 2012 or 2013. They're going to start with The Phantom Menace, and each year they're going to release one into theaters.
Blu-ray, right? Or, sorry, in 3D?
Yeah, 3D into theaters. There is a Blu-ray that's good. Yeah, there is a Blu-ray for coming out, I think, next year or something like that.
Releasing them in chronological order from Phantom Menace in 2011 all the way up to Return of the Jedi in 2017.
Or something like that. I'm not sure on the dates. I'd have to check on that sometime.
Yeah, I think it was one every year according to what I watched on daily. It was one every year starting in 2011, starting with The Phantom Menace.
until 2017, where they finish off with Return of the Jedi in 2017. I think it was a 3D remake.
So they're gonna go from 1, 2, 6 versus the, what they did before,
which was 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
So doing it as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 instead of 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, like the theatrical releases were done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
Makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next, or last two stories of today. It's been kind of a long podcast. Is there will be a Michael Jackson MMO that will debut in 2011. Oh, I know there's like tons of Michael Jackson fans out there, but I don't really see the point of this game being released. Besides, besides for the fans of Michael Jackson.
That's probably the only reason, because there are just so many fans. Why not, I guess?
Yeah, it's pretty much just seen as a money drawer at this point. I mean, it's probably wrong to profit off of his name, but that's just what they're doing.
Before long, we'll see an Elvis Presley and a John Lennon, and perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'll see more, but just because I'm guessing they're just so much public outpour for his death and whatnot, that I guess they felt they needed to make an MMO. So that people, I don't really want to go there.
Yeah.
But perhaps people who've been wasting their lives saying about how he died and whatnot, and go on, perhaps they can go on and paint a memorial for him. I don't know. And companies now get to make money off of them.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the money. Money.
Yeah, pretty much.
No offense to them. I don't mind the fact
that
he's a pretty good singer and painted when he was alive. And I can see the attraction of making him a booker in his name, but it's a little touchy, I think. Why not make us the music booker for where you get to go out and become like a famous musician who's dead or something, or any kind of musician. I think that would be a little bit more fun than just Michael Jackson.
I guess we'll move on to our next topic. As the World Cyber Games start this weekend in Los Angeles, California. It's for a lot of the many high-level competitive games like StarCraft and League of Legends and a couple other games like that. I think it's great that games are getting the attention like this that they haven't been really getting previously.
At least in North America, they've been getting that kind of attention other than the Halos and the military-type games.
Yeah.
Shooters. And I think that's pretty good that they're starting to get some attention. In Korea, people who play StarCraft, StarCraft 2, some of them are considered like rock stars. And they have special actual clinics for these people to go to and train to become better StarCraft players.
Yeah.
I don't know if they should really take it that far over here, but if it's popular and people want to watch it, I think it's great that gaming culture is actually becoming more of a professional sport. I mean, poker can be a sport, why not gaming? There's actually more physical dexterity involved, but...
Physical dexterity involved in gaming?
Well, fingers. Fingers. I mean, if you're playing poker, all you're doing is holding the cards.
You start using your hands.
Yes, but you're using your hands quicker, so it's not to be capped or whatever when you're playing a game, usually.
I guess you got a point, because timing is usually a thing that usually involves. That's in sequence.
Especially when you're doing things like StarCraft and whatnot, where you're controlling a lot of enemies at once.
Yeah, you're on the mouse and the keyboard.
Yeah. Or shooter games or Halo games where you're working in teams for shooter or co-op games. That also involves the strategy as well.
Or even PUBG where you got
different
sports.
FIFA. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I guess that wraps it up for this topic. Are there any other things that you guys want to talk about for this episode, or do you want to call it wraps?
I think one thing that I may have remembered, I'm not sure if it was ever mentioned in other episodes, was Muramasa on the Wii, I think, might be getting ported to 360 and PS3. Or there was rumors of that. I'm not sure how and where that went. But basically, I think it's just that company making, again, more money in kind of the next phase extraction being ported over to PS3.
Yeah. Same deal with No More Heroes, which has been ported over to the PS3 in Japan already, and I think it's getting a port over or port or a translation of some sort from the PS3 version or the Wii version over here in North America, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind importing them and whatnot. It just goes to show you how badly people wanted to play these games. And perhaps other companies should be taking a hint. Multi-platform isn't always needed. Well, like, that game should probably be ported more often from Japan and whatnot. Like, if you're making, like, if you're going to all this effort to port games over other systems and whatnot, to spread them out, why not spread the games out further? Like, why not take the same approach for spreading games out past your own borders? Past Japan and all countries and North America and Latin America, etc. Why do you have to be punished for pirating these games? Just for the sake of being able to play a game that they want to play and can't play, it's really sort of almost one thing leads to another, and if they had done this, you wouldn't really have the other thing. Or wouldn't be quite as bad.
Because, I've seen Tales of Vesperia, which was a 360 exclusive for North America, does have a PS3 port in Japan, but it hasn't been translated back into English back here in North America. They have most of the stuff translated anyways with the 360 version anyway, so it's not too much effort to copy over the audio and text files over and then move it over to wherever you want to sell it to.
I'd agree.
Yeah, because the only major difference between multi-platform systems are just the controls.
Yeah, usually it's just the controls that you're differing, and at least in Muramasa's case, from what I remember reading, was a lot of the games when they were developing Muramasa already was developed on an HD with HD resolution, so it's not that difficult for them to port it over, or it shouldn't be that difficult to port it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still there? Sorry.
Yeah, we're still here.
Alright.
We? Marcus, you just said we.
Oh.
Yeah, we as in, like, the podcast is still here.
Oh yeah, there's one other 3DS feature that was interesting, was the ability to take a picture of someone and then go into photo editor or whatever, and the picture of that person will be made into the meme.
Yeah, it's like a tag mode or something like that for photos.
It might have been tag mode, or it might have been something that's a little bit different.
Yeah, something
like
that.
You actually take a picture of them and they become a meme. It's pretty interesting, kind of cool. Kind of speeds things up. I'm also still pretty psyched for 3DS. I don't know if you guys would buy it at launch, but for me, from what I've seen, it looks to be the real deal. The only thing that I see that could be a problem for Nintendo is right now, between now and the time the 3DS is launched, I think Nintendo's a little bit vulnerable because, I mean, if Sony announced something or if some other company came out and announced something like a PSP 2 or a brand new system that had specs that were higher than the 3DS and showed off similar games, I think that it could be in a little bit of trouble. What about you guys?
I'm probably going to get it at release or within the first few months of release for sure. Yeah, the $300 price tag that we have converted at the moment, I'd like to see it dropped down to $250, or at least down below $275. Because it is, of course, a student budget that we're all running on right now. It's a little tight sometimes for gaming and otherwise other stuff.
So despite all of this, I'm still a little bit sketchy about the whole system. I mean, has all these great features, but until you actually see it work and put together, you can't really judge it. That's why if I'm looking together, it won't be launched. It might be maybe 3 months down the road for launch, or maybe 6 months, but definitely not a launch, because most systems will probably have, I'm still fearing that it'll have some sort of major bug at launch, because a system that looks this great, it might not live up to the hype.
Well, wouldn't any system have like some sort of flaw with it?
Well,
at first,
I bought my DS within the first month or two of its release, and to be honest, I've only bought a DS Lite. The only thing that I bought for that was a DS Lite. I didn't buy any of the other DS iterations because I just felt like there would be something bigger coming soon, so I've been waiting for 3DS to come out for a little while.
It's hard for the 3DS to live up to what it's promising.
Yeah, I'd say it's hard for 3DS to live up to what's promising, but the fact that, from what I've heard, it's been at different conventions like Fan Expo in Toronto, and probably at different Comic Cons and whatnot, different gaming companies have had it going around. A lot of people are also expecting it to be released within the holiday window, at least in Japan, especially with further rumors coming from Kotaku and others with potential leaks. So I think, for me, I think the system itself, as it is now, is ready or really close to being ready to being launched. But the problem is at the moment that the games or the software that comes inherent with the system isn't quite ready for release yet. The other thing I heard about Japan for testing was the possibility of 3D television streaming and live television.
Hmm.
They're just testing it out at the moment, though, so...
Yeah, and the other thing that I've heard about is with the 3DS, with the hardware, that they might not be able to have enough for the holiday season if they decided to launch holiday season. It is possible, but that they launched holiday season, but we remember the shortages that we had for the Wii 4 years ago when it was released. It was pretty scarce for the first like half a year that it came out.
Is that you?
No, I'm your jerk.
Marcus?
I think that's pretty much it for me for this podcast.
Alrighty then.
I guess I'll see you guys the next time we have a podcast in a week or two's time, so sign off.
Alright.
Later.
Peace out.